For years, doctors told people at risk of a heart attack to take a baby aspirin every day, and now a pair of new studies finds that a daily dose of aspirin significantly reduces the risk of several cancers and seems to prevent tumors from spreading. The studies were published in the British medical journals The Lancet and Lancet Oncology. Some experts say it's encouraging news. Others remain skeptical, and public health officials worry the risks may still outweigh the benefits. If you have questions about aspirin and cancer, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. NPR science correspondent and senior editor Rob Stein joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, nice to be here.
And based on these studies, how long would somebody, you're expecting a lot of people to start buying baby aspirin?
Yeah. It looks like the lowly aspirin is getting its 15 minutes of fame today with this new research. As you mentioned, aspirin has been something that doctors have recommended for patients at risk for heart attacks to take every day, a baby aspirin every day, for a long time. And there has been evidence accumulating for some time that it might also reduce the risk for cancer, specifically colon cancer. That was the cancer for which there was the strongest evidence. This new research suggests that it may actually have broader effects than that. It could reduce the risk for lots of other cancers.
And why did it take so long for the humble aspirin, for its benefits, to be studied?
Well, that's a good question. This is something people have been looking at for a long time. It's one of these things that's hard to sort out, and it's also important to note that these studies aren't definitive. This is just sort of evidence suggesting that that might be the case, and it's got to be a lot more research done before anybody runs out and starts taking aspirin on a regular basis to reduce the risk for cancer. But what's happened here is this is a group at the University of Oxford that's sort of been focusing on this for a long time, and what they did is they went back and they dug up a lot of old data from a lot of studies that had been done for other reasons, primarily about heart disease, and reanalyze that data to see what they could find out about cancer from that research.
And what they found out is pretty startling. After 5 years, the risk of dying of cancer was reduced by 37% among those taking aspirin. That's significant.
Right. Yeah, no, they're pretty impressive numbers. They, as you said, they showed a reduction in death of 37% for people who've been taking aspirin. A small dose of aspirin every day. After about 5 years, they also showed that it seemed to decrease the risk that cancer would spread. People who have already been diagnosed with cancer. So the results are pretty interesting. And I talked to a number of researchers today at the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society, and they said this is very encouraging and definitely going to follow up with more research.
Daily aspirin use, one study found, reduced the risks of metastatic cancer by 36%. That's when it spreads through the body. And the risks of adenocarcinomas, those are common solid cancers that include colon, lung, and prostate cancer, by 46%.
Right. That's one of the most interesting parts of this is that, as I said before, that the evidence had prior to this had been that aspirin might reduce the risk for colon cancer. This is suggesting that it might have a much broader effect. They found effects on prostate cancer, on lung cancer, and these are very common cancers. So if, in fact, aspirin could reduce the risk for those diseases, that would be pretty significant.
You said you asked people at National Institutes of Health about this, and they said, well, we're going to start research. There are questions about whether there is going to be research. Nobody's going to make any money on aspirin.
Right. This is the sort of thing that you're not going to get a big drug company to invest a lot of money into study. But there are lots of academic researchers and government-funded researchers out there that are looking at aspirin and the possible beneficial effects. And actually, really, the thing that people are mostly excited about is the possibility of developing another drug that might have the same effects of aspirin without the side effects, without the risk, because there are some significant risks from taking aspirin.
And I was just to ask about that. The risks that people were always told about was it can cause problems with your stomach.
Yeah, the big one that people are worried about is that aspirin, the reason why it reduces the risk for heart attacks is that it has an effect on the blood clotting.
It thins
the blood. It affects platelets that cause clots. And that's a good thing when you're trying to prevent a heart attack. It's a bad thing because it can cause bleeding, gastrointestinal bleeding, something that people might not even be aware of until it's very fairly progressed and they are really at risk. It can be fatal.
So those risks do occur, but it was interesting in the studies they found that over time, and these studies continued for years, that over time those risks seem to be diminished as well.
Yeah, that was one of the encouraging parts of the studies, that they did find that, in fact, taking aspirin did increase the risk for bleeding, but it seemed to diminish over time and the risk seemed to go down. That's for gastrointestinal bleeding. There are some other risks that people are worried about aspirin. Specifically, it can also increase the risk for strokes, which is obviously a very serious complication if it occurs.
There's an email email from Tony in Detroit. What exactly is the means by which aspirin blocks cancer? Would it be its effect on blood circulation?
Yeah, that's a good question. The short answer to that is nobody knows. But there are a bunch of theories, and the two leading ones is that it is the effect that aspirin has on platelets, which is how it reduces the risk for heart attacks. There's some evidence that platelets also may play a role in cancer. For example, by providing blood supply to tumors so they can grow. And if you block the activity of platelets, you might block the blood flow to tumors and prevent cancer from occurring.
Let's see if we can get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Michael's on with us from Davis in California.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One was, were the effects found to be equal for both men and women? And what kind of age range were we talking about? And then the second question was the dose, and as compared to like a normal dose that you'd buy at the store here. I'll take my question off the air.
Those are actually three questions, Michael, but we'll take them anyway. Low-dose aspirin, as I understand, baby aspirin?
Yeah, they actually, in these studies, they looked at a variety of doses ranging from about 75 milligrams to more than 100 milligrams. But generally, the evidence seemed to suggest that the amount of aspirin that's typically found in a baby aspirin, which is about 81 milligrams, something in that range is what has the beneficial effects.
And the effects, any difference in terms of age?
So far, in these studies, it seemed to have equally effective for men and women and across the board for different age groups.
And men and women, so it seems to be across the board.
Yeah, both men, both genders and all ages.
Email question from Alice in Memphis. Does aspirin show benefit for ovarian and other gynecological cancers?
It basically seemed to have this beneficial effect across the board for all sorts of cancers. They didn't tease it out for every single cancer. Then the biggest studies that they published this week, they were looking at overall risk of being diagnosed with cancer and overall risk of dying from cancer, and that's where you saw the big effects.
This email is from Lindsay in Columbus. I'm predisposed to liver problems. I've always been told to avoid aspirin. Now I feel like I have to ask myself, is it better to risk liver failure or cancer?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we think of aspirin as a sort of this inert drug in our medicine cabinet that's no big deal to take. You have to be really careful. Aspirin is a very powerful drug, can have all sorts of effects, and nobody, based on this study, should just go out and start taking an aspirin on a daily basis. What they should do is go talk to their doctor and find out if, based on their risk profile, their risk for cancer versus their risk for heart disease versus their risk for liver disease, whether it makes sense for them to start taking aspirin on a regular basis.
This is one of the authors of the study, Dr. Peter Rothwell, was quoted as saying, in terms of prevention, anyone with a family history would be sensible to go take aspirin.
Yeah, I talked to Dr. Rothwell this morning, and he was saying he didn't quite go that far when I talked to him this morning. He said anybody with a family risk of cancer or family history of cancer should go talk to their doctor about taking aspirin to see whether it makes sense, because you have to think about this very carefully, because there are significant risks, there may be significant benefits, but you have to weigh those very carefully before you start taking it.
I just want to reemphasize that. I've read that word cancer to come on the market today. It would be a prescription drug. It's not the cure-all that we all, it does help with a lot of things, but it does come with risks. We forget this.
That's right. If you're just like any other drug, if you read the small print for aspirin, you'd see a lot of things you didn't think about. And so you have to be careful that it's, because it's a double-edged sword. It has these potent effects that could be beneficial, but because it's so powerful, it can also have negative effects.
Let's go next to Derek. And Derek is with us from Muskegon in Michigan.
Yeah, hi, Neil. I was wondering if the effects are also seen with other NSAIDs, like ibuprofen and the Aleve products.
They're not in this research. This research was focused specifically on aspirin, and the benefits they found was only for aspirin. We don't really know if those other pain relievers have the same benefits.
Have studies been done to see if they might?
Yeah, and so far there hasn't been anything really strong showing that that's the case.
It was interesting also, and Derek, thanks very much for the question. There had been two earlier American studies about aspirin and cancer. They did not have daily doses, and the authors of this study said, well, those American studies did not show that aspirin reduced cancer, but we're throwing those results out because they didn't use daily doses.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the key criticisms that I've been hearing today when I've talked to experts about this British research, is that it did not include those two big American studies, and those were two big, very well-respected studies. One is the Nurses' Health Study, the Women's Health Study, and the other one's called the Physician's Health Study. They're both run out of Harvard, and they both took a look at the subject and found no effect. They did not find any benefit in reducing the risk for cancer from taking aspirin. As you said, they were somewhat different. They had somewhat different doses, and they involved taking aspirin every other day instead of every day, and that's why they were excluded from this study. But the negative effects from those studies do raise a lot of questions in people's minds about really what's going on here.
We're talking with Rob Stein, NPR science correspondent and senior editor, about two studies published in British medical journals today, respected journals, we should point out, The Lancet and The Lancet Oncology, that show that aspirin can significantly reduce the risk of cancers, and very serious cancers, and very significant reduction in the risks. But there are risks, of course, to taking aspirin. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Jan. Jan's with us from Tucson.
I wanted to ask, because if I recall correctly, about a month ago, it might have been about 2 months ago, actually on NPR, they were talking about aspirin, and it may not have been, but I thought what they were talking about was that aspirin actually can exacerbate asthma or create asthma in people.
Do you remember that, Ron?
You know, I'm not remembering the details of that study, but that sounds somewhat familiar, that there might have been some risks. And again, that's one of the things you have to keep in mind, that it depends on your personal medical history on what the effects that these drugs can have on you. And one person, it might be very beneficial, and other people, it might stir up some problems.
Okay, so you don't have any specific recall of any studies. But so it's just basically, if you have asthma, though, you don't have to panic and not take any aspirin. Because I'm prescribed it because of, for the heart, but I was concerned, so I stopped the aspirin. So
I have to say, Rob's not a doctor. We can't prescribe for you on the radio.
Yeah, but I would say if your doctor has specifically suggested that you take aspirin, a baby aspirin, every other day because you have a history of heart disease, you should not discontinue it based on some possible suggestion that it might increase the risk for asthma.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Jan, thanks very much for the call. Another question about methodology in these studies, and that was that the studies were originally designed to test aspirin's efficacy on heart patients. And some doctors say, well, wait a minute, they were looking for one thing and they found another. We have to redo this.
That's always a red flag when you're dealing with research. When you take one study and the data from one study was designed for one purpose and try to use it for another purpose, that can cause all sorts of problems, and you have to be very careful about interpreting the results. And you're right, all the studies that they used in this research was for something else. It was looking at the effects of aspirin for reducing the risk for heart disease.
Here's an email from Chalene. How has diet factored into the research? Aren't heart disease patients also put on healthier diets? Could higher fiber, lower acidity be the cause of lower incidence of cancer rather than the aspirin directly?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the lifestyle factors like diet and exercise are very important. And in this research, they try to take that into account. They try to account for other factors that may influence the results. And they think they did that, but you never can be sure. And again, especially when you're taking data for a study that was designed for one purpose and using it for another.
Let's go next to Stuart. Stuart with us from Birmingham.
Greetings.
Stuart, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I just had a question about aspirin versus the stomach, whether the enteric coated aspirin is designed to dissolve in the intestine instead, whether that might reduce or even prevent problems with stomach bleeding.
Right, yeah. There is some suggestion when it comes to heart disease that those aspirin might be somewhat less effective, but they do have the benefit of not irritating the stomach as much. So there's a sort of a trade-off there.
Thanks very much for the call, Stuart. When you talk to people at NIH, when will this research get underway? How soon might we expect results? These studies take years, no?
Yeah, they do take years. And this is not something that's going to happen overnight. I think what's going to happen more quickly is that some of the major medical groups, like the American Cancer Society and the National Cancer Institute, will probably sit down, take a look at this data, and decide whether to change their guidelines, their recommendations for how doctors should advise their patients when it comes to aspirin.
Let's get Lynn on the line. Lynn, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a physician, and these studies that you mentioned, it's looking retrospectively at studies, a bunch of other studies that were done for a different reason. They're called meta-analyses, and that it's that kind of study that said that people should take estrogen for heart disease. And we know now, after the definitive, you know, double-blind controlled study, that that was wrong. So I just emphasize that the definitive study is the prospective going forward study where you look at this specific issue and you do it in a double-blind way, because the meta-analyses are very problematic. So before anyone acts on this, they should really wait until more significant information is known. And the second little issue is the number of asthmatics who are made worse by aspirin. It's a very specific group of people. It's not just everyone with asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So again, your directive to talk to your doctor and raise these issues with your specific case is very important. The other thing you mentioned...
Very quickly, Lynn, if you would.
Okay, just that you made the point that drug companies will not do a study on a medicine that's basically almost free. That's why we need government funding for research, so that important issues like this can be looked at. Aspirin is a miracle drug, but the government needs to provide the money.
Lynn, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Sure. Bye-bye.
And Rob Stein, more on this later?
Yeah, no, I think those are very important points, and the point she made specifically about hormone therapy, I think it's a good cautionary note that that's a case where it all seemed to make sense and turned out to be wrong.
NPR science correspondent and senior editor Rob Stein, who joined us here in Studio 3A. Tomorrow, looking for ways to hold colleges accountable. One option, a standardized test. We'll talk about that tomorrow in this hour. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.